My job with the PGA of America, among many things, is to set up the golf courses for our major championships. And certainly I want to start by talking about Harbour Shores. In 2012, we came here and we agreed to play our major championship here because it is truly a wonderful golf course. It is a great golf course that challenges, and we knew it would challenge, the very best players in the world. And although we're going to talk a little bit about the greens today, the greens are really what make this golf course what it is. And anyone that comes here and plays here, it is a great challenge to play these greens. That's what any golfer has to experience, has to work on. And some of the greatest courses in the country, in the world, in fact, have greens that test the best players in the world. So, you know, you don't necessarily want smooth, flat, billiard-type greens. You can think of where the major championship 3 weeks ago was, and those greens are extremely severe and contoured, just as these are challenging. So the golf course is a spectacular golf course. It rewards good play. From my standpoint, it is a wonderful golf course to set up. I carry with me and brought with me my yardage book and my kind of Bible for how we set up the golf courses, looking at the hole locations, the yardage, the tee locations. It's a great golf course. So anything that we've done and talked about doing and what Bob and Jeff have agreed collectively to do is to really just tweak and improve what is already a spectacular golf course. So we are proud that they have the vision to look not just 1 year or 2 years ahead, but as Jeff said, for hopefully 20, 50, 100 years ahead, this golf course will grow in stature, will grow in mystique, and for all of you and us who've played it, it is a great challenge to play it. So thank you for your commitment to improving and changing the golf course. And I have seen the changes. Bob went through them. I think the main things to talk about from our standpoint are, as Bob said, primarily on the number of greens that have been changed, we now have some additional hole locations that we can use. So maybe some of the greens had three or four locations or areas where the players knew we were going to set the holes. Now on some of these change ones, we have six or even seven hole locations or areas. So from a player standpoint, the players aren't going to know every when they come here exactly which hole locations we're going to use. So from a testing standpoint, that is a wonderful thing. From a general play standpoint, Brad Fry and his team now have a whole lot more hole locations on those greens to be able to use. And that does a number of things. It certainly spreads the wear on each specific green, moves the wear around. So from a maintenance and a playability standpoint, is less wear in those same few areas. So it spreads it around, and maintenance-wise, condition-wise, long-term, that will be a good thing for the golf courses. The changes with the sand, I think everyone who's played the golf course, certainly on the seventh hole and has been in that bunker in front of the green to play out of the beach sand and now play out of regular bunker sand, it's still an extremely tough shot. You still have a 20-foot bank right in front of your eyes, and it's still a very challenging shot, but it is marginally easier than it was, but it's still very tough, very difficult. The two fairway changes behind the greens on 6 and 14, as Bob mentioned, that certainly, from a player standpoint, will allow players, for general play, is certainly an easier shot. The ball will roll up. In some cases, it may roll off the fairway and come back down onto the greens, which is certainly, as golfers, we all like that when the ball rolls closer to the hole or back onto the green. From a player standpoint, if your ball does stay up in that fairway, it gives you more variety, more options of the type of shot to hit down. You know, you hit a sand wedge, you can hit a hybrid, you can hit a putter, you can hit basically any club in the bag to play down to the hole location. So they're fun. There are already a number of chipping, putting, swales on and around many of the greens. So all of those changes we are 100% in support of. We think they are good and positive changes. not only for the best senior golfers in the world, but also for general golfers, general guests who come and play here any time of the year, starting hopefully in April and all the way through till October to play this great golf course. So very exciting, wonderful changes. I am happy to answer any questions that anyone has about the golf course and the setup. I would say from my standpoint, it is a very fun golf course to set up to challenge the best players in senior golf, in that you can make it extremely difficult, or you can certainly make it a little more forgiving or easier. That mix of easy or difficult can certainly affect the scoring, as obviously can the weather, the tee locations, and all the other factors that go into setup. But the golf course is a great golf course. We love being here. And at this point, I will open the floor up to any thoughts or questions any of you may have about the golf course and the changes.
Kerry, has there ever been any thought just for gallery concept and all the talk that holes 7, 8, 9 get to flipping the 9s for the tournament?
The question is whether or not there has been any talk about flipping the 9s for the championship. At one time, actually, before 2012, we did explore that idea, but for a number of reasons, we feel certainly the location of the clubhouse, an 18 and 1, that it works better in this order. But yes, we certainly did look at that prior to the first championship being played here, but like the way we have it now, and as we know, provides a great test.
How critical were these changes to making this golf course really more playable for 4 days, for your purposes?
The changes, in truth, are they're improvements to the overall playability of the golf course, but they're very subtle. You know, they're not huge differences. It has not changed the overall characteristic or playability of the greens or of the golf course. So, you know, a lot of great golf courses just make and continue to make minor changes every year to keep improving it, and that's how I would categorize this. It's not dramatic changes, they're subtle changes without changing or upsetting the overall character of the golf course itself.
Kerry, is this one a different to, or maybe a little more challenging to set up? Because you have different themes in the property. You kind of have some wetland areas and some lake areas and some like northern Michigan forest areas. It's a different theme every few holes.
It is, and that's, you know, part of the why it's such a wonderful golf course. It's the variety is part of what makes it a good golf course. And from a setup standpoint, yeah, you certainly have to, you know, keep an eye on it, but that is part of the fun and the enjoyment of setting it up. And I think from a player standpoint, that's why they enjoy playing here, because of that variety. You know, not every hole is the same look, same feel. So that's really what makes the golf course so unique and special.
Can we ask you a little bit about this year on the calendar? You're going to have a double dose of dye to set up this year. Pete and French Lick and Pete, sure, up at Whistling Straits. Tell us what challenges you and your team face as you set those two courses up for the Senior PGA and then this August the PGA Championship.
Yeah, well, Pete Dye is a wonderful architect, certainly one of the greatest modern time architects there are. And I've spent a lot of time with Pete and talking to him and understanding, you know, his philosophy and what he does with the golf courses. And in particular, French Lick for the Senior PGA Championship presented by KitchenAid this May. It's a dramatic golf course. It's in southern Indiana. It's literally on the highest point in the area, and you can see for 40, 50 miles all around. It's spectacular views, and the golf course itself, the back tees are over 8,000 yards, so Pete is certainly very protective of the game and hoping that, you know, technology doesn't ever overtake the golf course, and in this case, that's certainly not the case. Now, we won't be playing those back tees for the Senior PGA Championship, but it will still be a great test. The greens are generally small. There's a lot of bunkering on the golf course, and the fairways are probably some of the narrowest fairways you'll find. So consequently, the roughs, we, you know, there won't be a particularly man of rough, so the players will be able to play, but it'll be fun, it'll be exciting to watch, and it'll be interesting to see how they do.
You'll be looking forward to setting up around those volcano bunkers, and it's not even a Hawaiian golf tournament.
You're right. Only Pete could build bunkers up as he has. As you say, you can describe them as volcano bunkers, and unique to that property, and it's going to be exciting to see it.
Tell us about Whistling Straits and how that setup goes.
Yeah, Whistling Straits, obviously we've been there in 2004 and 2010. Traumatic golf course, right on the lake. So much dependent upon the wind, just as it is here. It has such a bearing, and there it seems that the wind changes direction even during a day, not just from day to day, more so than most places. There's over 1,000 bunkers there on the golf course, and as we recall from 2010, that created some challenges for certain players. But again, we'll look at that, and likely we'll play the golf course in the same manner that we did in 2010. But wonderful golf course, and we're looking forward to a great PGA Championship there.
Considering what happened with Dustin Johnson there, do you think you'll go through all the same things or do anything else to sort of make the players much more aware of what those hazards are or aren't?
Yeah, I would anticipate that we would play the bunkers the same as we have both in 2004 and 2010. Every time we've been there, we have played all of them as bunkers. We certainly will do as we did in 2010 and notify the players in as many places as we can of the rule and notify them of that, you know. It's part of the golf course, and the rules are there.
I hope everybody reads those messages this time around. We're from Chicago, where it's actually warm in April. I was wondering when you'd like to come back to Chicago, and I've heard whispers that you're either planning to or already have visited Cog Hill. True?
Well, Chicago, we obviously have been there on a number of occasions, and most recently with the Ryder Cup, which is obviously a huge event, huge successful event. And so we are certainly continuing and are in the process of having discussions with a couple of venues in the area about possibilities down the road, and certainly specifically to Cog Hill, I'm hoping to visit there shortly, yes, to look and see that facility.
Frank will tell you there's a lot of room for people to park there.
I'm looking forward to seeing. I have never actually been there before. I've watched it every year on television for many years, and Catherine and has been in touch recently to, you know, for me to come and look at it, and we would love to come and see it. As I say, we're always very interested to see any wonderful golf course, and certainly Cog Hill has that reputation, and I can't wait to see it.
Terry, with all the success you had at Medina in the Ryder Cup, could you ever foresee the Ryder Cup coming back to Medina again? It seems like there was enough drama, and from a financial standpoint, it seemed to work out pretty well for everybody involved.
Yeah, Medina, as you know, we've had two PGA Championships there and a Ryder Cup, and we have a wonderful relationship with the club and the membership and the whole city. You know, the community got right behind that event, and as I say, we certainly hope that and continue to talk with the club about opportunities, and who knows where that may end.
One last thing, on French Lick, going back to French Lick again. That course, it's different than this one. It's different than, how are they going to find something really, would you call it unusual there? How do you think that will fit into the spectrum of the courses that they play? They've played everywhere, but still, that's...
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think the every course has its uniqueness to it, or differences to it. French Lick certainly has... some different. It could be. You could set it up to be so difficult, really difficult.
Yeah, you could.
You know, because of the contour and the slopes off the fairways. So, you know, our plan is to set it up in a way that still allows the players to hopefully be able to play. But you could have significantly side hill slopes and lies and stances and some interesting shots. So I think a course like that historic or traditionally will have some players that really like it, really enjoy that challenge, and other players that if it doesn't quite fit their eye and may not be quite what they like. But that's the same at most courses. There's some courses players like and suits them more than others. So I think that goes with the territory. But I think you do have to go in on any course with a positive attitude that, it's a challenge of the course that excites me and battle that course. And if players go in with that attitude, they will enjoy it.
Has Pete asked you to use that 300-yard par 3 back at 300 yards?
On the seventh hole, we walk by it every time I've seen it, and it's quite a hole from the 180-yard tee we will be using. But that 300-yard tee is... That is quite something.
Pete has never lacked for imagination.
Worry.